Good morning and good afternoon, everyone. Praise the Lord. Welcome to fellowship this morning and welcome to the month of March. We give the Lord the praise and the glory for another new month. 2 months already into this year. So we thank God for keeping us and a lot of answered prayers already this year. So we give God glory for that as well. Today we'll be continuing our fellowship testimonies and shares and intercessions for one another. You know, we did some of that yesterday. I want us to do more of that today as well. Praise the Lord. So we're not doing a regular teaching class today. We'll give opportunity for anyone that wants to share on any of our previous lessons or even any other thing for that matter. Questions to ask, testimonies to give, prayer requests to raise. We'll do all of that today by the grace of God. So I welcome you and I thank God for all that God has been doing. Praise the Lord. Today, it is a Saturday, and I pray that this weekend go well for everyone. We have some activities today to celebrate here in Phoenix, Arizona, and we are going to enjoy that by the grace of God. Sister Veronica and her husband, Pastor John, will be celebrating or doing something for their daughter getting married today. We call it introduction. And so that's a good thing to pray about today. But we'll leave that till later in the room. I want to jump into testimonies and shares. Praise the Lord. So I will open it up. If you have a testimony to share what the Lord has been doing, particularly this year, because we've been believing God for a lot of things this year. We're hoping that people will give testimony and show us that the Lord is good. As a quick reminder of the reason why we are looking for testimonies from the Lord, the Lord's testimonies in your life, that is, I want to remind us that in the last few weeks, you know, we have received the word of the Lord concerning the prophetic repairs. You might want to remind yourself about that, what the Lord promised, the release, expansion, possession and positioning, acceleration, advancement, and his promised increase. He has promised restoration, recovery and rest, and he has promised successes as well. So all of those things should lead to testimonies. And we're looking for those testimonies from the house. Praise the Lord. We have also, covered the EPIC series, and we want to remind you also of that the Lord gave us some additional encouragement in the EPIC series. We are instructed to engage, instructed to push, and all of that, if we do it right according to the Lord's leading, it will yield increase and bring celebrations this year. So, many reasons for us to celebrate, there will be, and there are reasons to testify. Remember also that increase comes by inspiration of the Almighty. So, if you have any testimonies along those lines, please share today. Good morning, good afternoon, welcome. I'm going to yield the mic here for you to share.
Good morning. Good morning. I praise God for being here. I thank you, Pastor Yato and Lady Eben, for once again being able to be in your room and to be received lovingly and fully. I thank you. I haven't been here, wasn't here yesterday because I told you I was having a procedure, and it all went well. It all went well. I thank God for that. I stood in my beliefs. I stood on my thing, and I tell you, but by His stripes I'm healed. And I'm just grateful for that. And I'm grateful for this room. I just want to, you know, going into a new year, I was, you know, sometimes we think we hear things that God tells us and then when we don't get a repeat or God didn't repeat it, we think, well, maybe it was just me, but God had told me, I kept hearing the word harvest. This was last year. I kept hearing the word harvest, harvest. And I was like, harvest. I was like, hey, Father God. And He said, you will reap what you sow. And I was like, ooh, I don't know. I better be watching what I be doing then. Because I want to, what I sow, I want it to be good. And I did hear Him say that. He said, you're going to reap what you sow. And I was like, oh God, I thank you. And, yesterday I had to go back, to the doctor to see the doctor. And, my daughter, took me. She has to take me because I can't do anything by myself right now. Not because I'm sick, because I'm healing. So she drove me and everything. And the Lord had just been like itching me and working with me with my daughter. So, my daughter said to me, Mom, do you think that God can bring anybody through? I said, yeah. I said, do you need God to bring you through something? She was like, no. She was like, Mom, I know that something's going on because I used to, every time I watch you, you walk down the aisles and you pray for people. She said, we'd be at Walmart, you're praying for somebody. We'd be at the gas station, you're praying for somebody. I said, well, that's my job. We're disciples and we're supposed to do whatever God said. So she said to me, now my daughter's not saved. She was like, Mom, it's like you're trying to get a harvest. I said, you think so? Because I didn't want to say to her, oh, God told me, you know, you can't overwhelm people sometimes. I said, you think so? She's like, yeah, it's like you're harvesting people. So we went home and I had some work for her to do for me, some banking that I had to be done. I couldn't see. And she was going to this old account. And I said, you keep going to the old account. I don't have any money in there. So I went to the next room because I can't stay on my feet too long. The doctor told me to stay off my feet, no bending, no lifting and all that. So I went back to sit down. So she called me and I said, oh my God, what does she want? She was like, Mom, come here. She was like, Mom, you say you'll have no money in this account? I said, no. She was like, Mom, look at this. I was like, oh my gosh. I said, there must be a mistake. There's got to be a mistake. So she was like, well, Mom, what's the other account? I said, don't touch that money. Don't do anything with it. I need to find out where that's coming from. So she went to the account that I always use. And so I said, well, we're going to have to wait. I live on a fixed income. So she said, we're going to have to wait until – I said, well, you're not going to get nothing really out of that until, you know, until tomorrow, which was today. So she was like, Mom, what are you talking about? And I said, there shouldn't be anything in that account. There should be like a few dollars, but nothing. You know, she was like, Mom, come, are you looking at your accounts? And I said, yeah. She was like, Mom, look at that. So she's like, Mom, I know you can't see. So she began to read the figures. I said, no. I said, are you sure you have my account? She was like, yeah. All of a sudden, we were standing there looking at you. She was like, Mom, this is your harvest. Now, my daughter's not even saved. That's the first thing she said, Mom, this is your harvest. This is what you're going to reap. Hashake, Mama, say. Because she's like, all those things that I saw you do for people. She's like, Mom, I want to go to church with you. She said, Mom, I want a piece of what God has given you. She was like, Mommy, she was like, there is something to this. She was like, you know, I went to church with many people, but I've never seen the results. I've never seen, you know, she was like, you don't go out there, you don't preach the Lord. You just listen to them and you just pray for them. I said, well, you know, as stewards, God leads you in what to do, what to say, how to say it. But she was like, Mom, but look at this. She was like, Mom, you didn't know that you had this money. I said, no, I'm telling you. I don't have no heat in the house, Carol. You see that? And she was like, yeah, what's up with that? She was like, Mom, it's warm in here. I said, it's faith. I said, I gave this testimony in a room I was in the other day. I was telling them there was no heat in this house. None. And I said, but yet God was keeping me. I was sweating in here. She was like, oh, Mom, I got it. She's like, you know, I'm overwhelmed. I really want to know what this is all about. I said, well, Carrie, you know the Lord, right? She's like, yeah. I said, okay. But he's everything that you need. You just have to know when to call on him. And then while you're calling on him, yet while you're waiting, you still have to praise and honor him. You don't have to see it automatically, but you still have to praise him for what is going to be. And she's looking at me. So I went to the other room, and the Lord said, no, I have like a little chair here. This is my prayer room and my prayer room and my computer room. So, but there's like a futon here. So I said, let me send a futon so she don't have to keep calling me and I don't have to keep coming back. So I sit here. So I was, had my eyes closed. I was just meditating and I hear her sniffling. I was like, well, I said, well, Carol, is that you? Get a tissue. She was like, Mom, I just can't believe how blessed you are. I said, well, you're blessed. I said, if you're attached to me, you are blessed too. Reach up and get your blessing. Get up, get your blessing. You don't have, it doesn't come from me. I can't give you anything but to stand beside you and hope and faith that, you know, that you are going to do the right thing. Cause I know the Lord is going to do the right thing. So I don't want to keep you long, but I tell you what, no weapon formed against me has prospered. You know, these things that people were trying to hold from me has come. I found out where the money came from. My daughter started digging. She's a good digger. I love my daughter. She's a good digger. And what happened was when I retired, I got my retirement. I rolled it over, but they didn't give me all of my retirement. And they never sent me a letter or anything, but they sent it to the old account. But I kept my account open with a few dollars. It wasn't anything big. In fact, it was so small amount, I've forgotten the account was even open. It was only when Kara went in there to get that's my daughter's name, Kara. When she went in there to straighten out some things, you know, because I let things slack a little bit because I couldn't see and I was a little discouraged. Even when I talked in the room here, I like to come biblically. I like to come with the word when I'm talking to people, but I couldn't see. And when I don't know people, I don't like to really disclose a lot of me to people. You know, I want you to see the God in me, but you know, sometimes we need to be vulnerable too. Sometimes there's nothing wrong with vulnerability. And I just didn't want to be that way. I didn't want to say, well, I can't see. So I just begin to say, well, it's not what I can't see. It's what is in me that has to come out. It's, you know, how, you know, this is, you know, God has been showing me, you know, if I really, sometimes God will show you if you really know the word or not. I think that for this minute, God, my eyes were closed so that what was in my heart could come out. What was in my heart that could come and cement my assignments and my life, and I could live it. And I was just moved yesterday. I really was. I got it this morning, and I just went to the house, and I began to praise God for everything that happened yesterday. I mean, it was just an abundance on top of an abundance. But the biggest thing to me was for my daughter to recognize God, to recognize in me that, you know, it wasn't anything that I was doing. It was all God. It was faith. It was propelling me forward. It wasn't anything. I didn't come in here crying, and I didn't say to her, when you come over my house, bring a heater. I didn't say that. I just told her to come. And she really didn't even notice that the heat was off. Until she said, yeah, he's working. I said, no. I said, if I had known I had this money, I'd have called the people about the heat. Cause I said to y'all, I'm just going to wait till I get the money. I was believing for the money. I didn't know where it was going to come from, but I did say to y'all in this room, I said, well, I'm just going to believe. I'm just going to stay in this faith that God is going to keep me warm until something happens, until he sends me the money. And the money was sitting here all the time. So I thank God. I thank God. And so God's beginning to show me, you know, to take some of that money and to sow it. And let me say to you, people of God, every time we get money, we want to go shopping. We want to upgrade here. We want to do this and that. We want to pay a bill. You want to pay a bill? Sow into someone. Sow into a man of God. Sow into a woman of God. Sow into your church. See, won't God give you more than you thought that you could ever, ever, ever do with the little bit of money that he did give you? Because when God gives you little and you are a good steward over a little, he'll give you a lot. And if you are a good steward over a lot, God will make you a millionaire. It doesn't make sense. It has to make faith. And I heard that one day and I said, what is that about? But you know something? It is so true. It doesn't have to make sense. It has to make faith. When you, and then as I begin to read in the Bible, a lot of the miracles God performed didn't make sense, but it made faith. So that's when I begin to start on my journey of faith. Because without it, it's impossible to please God. We can sit here and say all this and all this, but if you don't have faith, you are just talking to the air. If you are not willing to exercise your faith in times, you know, sometimes I think if I had been a day further from where I'm at today, I don't think I could have taken this moment. And because this has been over a month that I've been without heat, but you really can't tell. You can come in my house and you would swear to heat this house. My daughter went over and started messing. I said, why are you messing with that? It's off. It's not even, I turned it off from the circuit breaker. It's not even on. She was like, Mom. I said, but God is able. I said, Kara, he's able. And I want to tell y'all today, ask God what you want him to sow into. Be a giver. Be a giver. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, it will be given unto you. See, we always want to give to our families. We need to give to people. Walk up to somebody one day and just put a $20 bill in their hand and walk away. You know something? You in the line at Walmart or something. You know something? Pay somebody's bill in front of you. That's faith. That's faith. And God, I'm telling you, God will give you double. I'm telling you. I've done it many times, and I'm telling you, I didn't even know that my blessing had come. I just kept giving. But I just wanted to let you know today that God is able and to sow. Not into your family. Sow beyond your comfort zone. Sow beyond what people see. Don't look for a thank you. Don't wait to be recognized. Give it and go. I'm telling you, you can't bless yourself and your family any more than to give to someone else. And I just wanted to say that. I just wanted to let you know that I'm well. I wanted to let you know that this room has been such a blessing to me. I can't tell you. I can understand what God was telling me when I was here the first time. He said, you weren't ready. Because I tell you what, Pastor Yato, you're heavy. You are a heavy brother. You are a brother in faith. You are a brother in deed. I can tell. I'm telling you, I have a gift. And my discern was just, when I came into this room, I was like, this is good. And then when you were talking about the snacks, I was like, I said, these people love me because I love a good snack. And to hear, Sister Maggie and Sister, I'm sure I'm not going to say your name, Tutula. I just want to thank y'all both. I tell you what, y'all have done something. Y'all have increased in, me and faith you have increased me in just the boldness of speaking and believing and knowing and stepping out there on the water and knowing that I can walk to the shore. Hallelujah. I tell you what, I just want blessings to rain down on each and every one in this room today. I bring joy. I speak joy and blessings to each and every one of you. But I tell you, I'm telling you, I'm asking you truly to sow into someone today. It'll bless you for generations to come. Don't stop sowing. It's not a tithes and offerings are good, but sowing is the real test. And I yield my mic.
Wow. Thank you, Sister Patricia. Powerful, powerful shares. I heard a lot of things. I heard, you know, the harvest, and I was giving it thumbs up, and I was also looking for the check mark to give a check mark, but by the time I found it, you were saying something about me. Not, I wasn't trying to give a check mark about me. I was just trying to give a check mark about what you were saying, you know, and I just thank you for sharing, you know, sharing and sharing and sharing and pouring your heart out. But I heard something, and I, you know, if you don't mind, I want to ask you. You know, I hope it's okay. Did you say something? Did you say something about your eyes? Are you having difficulty with your vision? Is there something you need to pray about?
I had a procedure that, you remember I told you I wouldn't be in the next day. I had a procedure on the 27th, and then I went to the doctor yesterday. They were going to keep me, and my daughter is ready. I said, no, you don't go nowhere. They're going to take me home. You're going to take me home. She started laughing. I said, I'm telling you, you're going to take me home. I said, I'm going to go in there and speak faith to these people, and they're going to, and I'm going to go home. And they did. I went home. My daughter said, Mom, I can't believe you. I said, I'm telling you, I told the doctor that I was going home today. And he was like, well, let's see what's going on in there first. I said, no, I don't care. I don't care what's going on in there. I'm going home today. Now I have to go back for another procedure in March the 13th. And I'm telling you, I'm speaking the same thing there. I'm just, you know something? This room was exactly what I needed. I want people to hear this. I'm not just in this room. I'm not just saying these things to say these things. I'm telling you that when you started speaking about faith and how faith works, I'm telling you, that's really what I stand in. I stand in faith. And I'm telling you, faith is sowing and reaping. So you have to know when to put the sickle in. But you can't put a sickle into the ground until you sow first. You must sow. And don't grow weary of well-doing. Keep sowing. I'm telling you, it'll change the face of the generations of your family. Not just today, I'm talking about generations that you will never see will be changed because of what you do today in your sowing. Please don't stop sowing. Please sow into the man of God, sow into the woman of God. Stop sowing into your comfort zone. You know, give my daughter a car. You know something? Give a stranger a car. How about that? If you step out on the water, you'll never drown. If you step out of faith, you'll never drown. I promise you that. So yes, I am having another procedure, and I do. And I'm just excited. I'm excited today. I'm excited because what I say has come, and my daughter, and I just thank God that my daughter was able to see that my word, you know, I put that word out before God, and it did not return void. It didn't return void. And because I spoke that, look at that. I got two accounts full of money. I could see, they were telling me I was going to be blurry. I could see clear as a bell. And they gave me all this medicine. I only need one of the medicine. So I thank God. I thank God for it. But I thank God for this room. I really do. I thank God because this was my prep before surgery. room. This was my pre-surgery. I mean that. And this now was my post-surgery. And I thank God that I'm able to come and tell you that today. But I want to encourage someone today. Thank you.
All right. Well, praise the Lord. We understand now. I want us to just thank the Lord for her. She had some procedure done on her eyes, is what I'm understanding. And it went well. And their eyes are clearing up. And not only that, you know, God gave a surprise in her accounts. Well, you know, faith is the evidence of what you haven't seen yet. She spoke many things by faith. And we see the testimonies today. So thank you so much for sharing. Let's take prayer for Sister Patricia, would you? Just open your mic and pray over her. The eye procedure that she's done, everything will be fine. She says she's got another one coming on March 13th. Pray for her. Pray for her daughter, Kara, as well, in Jesus' name. Prayer. In
Jesus. Father, Lord, we just commit ourselves to this morning. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise for your worship. We adore you. We thank you. Blessed be your name, O God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to you. Honor to you. Praise to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. It is well with you, Sister Patricia. It is well with you. Your eyes wet with your daughter. It is well with everything around you. And thank you for your kind words. We praise the Lord and we give him all the glory. And thank you for sharing the details of your testimony with us. Praise the Lord. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is testimony day today, shares and intercessions. You know, so, you know, we'll pray for anyone that, we, you know, the Lord brings to our mind for prayers. We want to hear your shares and your testimonies as well. So please go ahead. We're not hearing you, Lady Evelyn. Your mic is open. Are you speaking?
Oh, sorry about that.
All right. Anybody wants to speak, just jump in. Praise the Lord.
Greetings, Pastor, ladies and gentlemen. I felt led to your room. I hope it's okay for me to share my testimony. I'd say I've got a testimony around... When I had faith, when I walked by faith and I felt like I wanted to give up. I know you said that, I've not been in this room before, so I don't know if I'm misunderstanding the rules, but I'm willing, obviously, to be corrected should I say something out of place. So my testimony, sorry, I'm going to go away from my son for a second. My testimony is that when I was growing up in my household, I faced a lot of abuse. I won't go into detail of that, but I'll just say that it started very early, from the age of three. And I had been raised in the church. I had been sent to Sunday school. So I had an introduction to God and his word from an early age. I would say that I would always be praying and repenting from an early age based on what I had faced in my life, because I felt I was a sinner, a great sinner, based on what had happened to me, the violations that took place against my flesh. So I remember I was rebellious. As much as I was a child, I was rebellious in that I hadn't given my full trust to Jesus. I was attending church, was put on a Sunday school bus, but my mother had severe mental illness, so she didn't attend, so we would be in the congregation of the adults, the hall, not in the Sunday school where children would be, so we would really be kind of more hearing the word, but not really being able to discern the word. So I remember I would always pray at night, would be on my knees and go to the secret place, and it was a secret. I didn't want God to be taken from me. So I'd pray in secret, repent for my sins, and that was obviously from 3 onwards. And this time I had got to, I think, 5, and the violations continued. So me and my brother was sodomized in each other's presence on this occasion. And I think I was kind of done. I think I was done in that I was broken like never before. So I'm now 6 years old, and I never forget the day when I had attempted to take my own life and jump from the balcony. And I remember that moment knowing that it was an abomination to take one's life. I'd read the word of God because I asked God to open my eyes so I could be able to read Holy Scripture, because it was my refuge. And as I'm walking towards the balcony, I remember I have to pray because I don't want to go to hell. So I run back into the front room, and I stand and I rush through my prayer, but this time I call out to Jesus with all my might, and I had never done that before. Before, I was praying to the Most High, because as a child I believed that my prayers would go up faster because I wanted him to protect me from the child abuse I was facing. And then as I cry out and I say to Jesus that I'm sorry for what I'm about to do, I know it's a sin, and I'm calling out to Jesus and saying, I just want to be with my father, because my father had watched my father die like when I had got to 3 and a half. So I'd seen a lot. And then I go towards the door of the balcony and I hear a voice. And the voice says, no, you're not going to do this. I had never heard a reply from the Holy Spirit or an angel or anything like that in all my time of being a child. I was receiving strength from reading the word, and prayer was helping, but this time something different happened in that moment. So all I heard was, you're not going to do this, I'm going to use you. And I remember feeling a sense of peace immediately just flow through my whole being. And it was like somebody taking away all of the events that had already taken place. And I remember thinking to myself, God sees me, God has seen my pain. And in that moment, I rejoice. And I just remember being told, whatever you do, no, that Satan, the word was that, it was Satan or the devil. I think it was the devil, because I was a child, I had child obviously knowledge and understanding. So I remember that it had been expressed to me and directed to me, whatever you do, do not hate your family. Satan is going to do everything to get you to hate your family. Whatever you do, do not hate them. And that was stressed. That was stressed in that engagement. And then the voice just said, did you hear what I said? Do you agree? And I said, if I'm going to agree, I want something. And he said, what do you want? And I said, I want a house. And I could have asked for anything at that time. I wanted a house, if I'd be honest to say, because I wanted to be protected.
didn't never feel like I was in a home. And a house meant for me protection, safety, as well as that I mattered. I never felt like I was seen in my household. So in that moment, it's agreed and it says, yes, that's fine. And then it's repeated, whatever you do, do not hate your family. Satan is going to do everything. He's going to use your family against you. And I agree. And I would say that what happened thereafter was...
Lala, could you hold him? Take him upstairs. I'm telling my testimony, please.
What happens is the voice goes and I'm left standing in peace, now having this knowledge that Jesus is real. He is my Lord and Saviour. And he has seen me. God has seen my pain. And I would say that carried me forward in my life, that I'm now 42 today and I've been sharing my testimony online. And the Holy Spirit is working in my life in a mighty way. That even yesterday, I'm not really familiar with this clubhouse because I just was invited to a room where they were sharing around understanding discernment. And I was enjoying that presentation of that room. And I would say that what happened is that Jesus himself showed up yet again in my life. The Holy Spirit showed up in my life and continues to show up in my life in a meaningful way because I went off the rails. I was abused all the way up until I was 13, from 3. And I turned my back away from God. And I went on the road and I became a sinner, a fornicator, let's say. And I was trying to fight against God because I was angry at him, thinking that I would be protected in the way of my understanding. But I'm here to testify that God has been my strength every trial and tribulation that the enemy or my own hand has tried to form against my own life. God showed up time and time again. And all my life, even when I was on my broken road, when I'd run into my Bible and not even feel worthy to touch the book, not even to touch a page based on the sins I'd committed, God kept bringing me back and I cried out. In 2017, when I walked away from Christianity, I walked away from believing even in Jesus. And that's when I heard the voice again. And he said, speak to my people, speak to my people, speak to my people, 3 times. And then I was having a nervous breakdown at the time, if I'd be honest. And I was just like, no, God wouldn't choose me because I'm not stable. I'm broken. I'm a mess. I must be going mad. And then literally, the Spirit of Truth came into my life and I hadn't been reading the Word for years. So I didn't understand the Scripture. I didn't even understand how Jesus moved, his character, because it was when I was a child and thought like a child, I had the obedience to get to my knees every night without fail. And any night I forgot to pray, I would repent immediately. I had that deep conviction. So why I'm telling you this testimony today, somebody had claimed that God doesn't speak to a sinner. When I was a child, I was innocent. I had been a virgin, but my virginity had been stripped without my control. So I'm here to testify that Jesus is Lord and he is the King of Kings. And he came and showed up and he called me back into repentance. I'm 42 and he showed up and he was my personal mentor for over 4 years. He still is. And he showed me the Scripture through parables. He made me see how far I had gone away from the Word. And I kept crying out. I was leaving the restaurant. I was leaving Mayfair. I'm in the UK. So I remember that night I was pregnant with my last child. And this had this deep conviction. I always kept looking for Jesus. But I was looking at him to be my genie. I was always looking for Jesus in that the way the world had taught me about Jesus, but I'd never seeked a personal relationship because I had lost faith, total faith, that sometimes I would pray and say to God that I'm going to take crack, that I'm going to become a prostitute because I'm broken, I'm now filth. And when I went to the road and I started abusing my body, I remember saying, if I don't get to choose, if everything that's happened to me, I became tainted. I felt tainted. I felt dirty. And I remember saying, I'm going to choose who and when. And I became a W, because I don't want to swear in room. So, and I mean that having boyfriends, relationship, I never sold myself for money. But I was literally doing that in practice based on me violating my temple. I knew that my temple had been violated from I was free. I knew from a child that the temple was holy. It was to be holy, and I wanted to be a woman that kept herself to her husband, because I had a great father who died suddenly, who taught me I was an empress and was laying in me the foundation or the roots around who God was. And he was giving me that, but he was suddenly taken. So I'm here to tell anyone, when you pray, and I prayed with all my might, there was no peace unleft in that moment when I cried out as a child. And I say, if I had cried out earlier as a young girl, instead of me turning to the world and choosing to walk with Satan in my ways, in my actions, in my decision making, I'm no longer a child of the enemy. That I broke, Jesus broke that hold, that stronghold that he had over my mind when he showed me, I have been there, I have been your comforter, I've been taking you on a journey, and I've been using you, I'm going to use you. And I knew even when I was a child who the Holy Spirit was, because he showed up for me. But how the world will tell us who the Holy Spirit is would be a contradiction to his character and his might. But I'm here to confirm that he is powerful, and his ways are higher than our ways. And I am just saying, I give God the glory over my life and everything he's done for everyone who's been broken, deceived, and maybe even placed in the hands of the enemy based on their lacking understanding around the word of God. But yesterday on Clubhouse, somebody was trying to first minister me in a different room. I'm not going to say the room, it's relevant, because God saw and God has even used that for me to go deeper into my Bible, for me to study to show myself approved. So there's no pain that is ever wasted. And even when I surrendered last year, I was chastised by God, and he showed me that I am forgiven and that I am his daughter. So I'm here to stand. No matter what is coming, I know I can face it, because greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. And I say that for everyone who's been broken, everyone who's been deceived, everyone who's lacking faith. God is going to use your testimony to bring glory to his kingdom. And it is but his glory alone. That is why I stand. So God bless you for listening. And my point of saying, yesterday, somebody who has a big following on Clubhouse, I won't name them, in a different room, had said, you was talking to the enemy, you didn't know who Jesus was. Jesus, they was claiming, was a fantasy, an imagination, because I was a sinner, and they wasn't allowing me to express my testimony. So I give thanks and praise and glory to the Most High and Jesus Christ for you allowing me to share mine in full. In part and full, of that being my first introduction to Jesus, and to know that I'm ready, because Jesus kept saying, Sophia, you're going to be persecuted, but I've called you by name. And he called me by name, and it was when I read Matthew's, then I knew that the Holy Spirit had come into my life. When I read Matthew's, and it was just in the last year I read Matthew's, and then I was like, oh my gosh, how could I have missed that this was the Holy Spirit working in my life? And then I had to obviously fall to my knees and repent yet again, because I was like, I was trying to run away from God. I was trying to run away from the enemy. You cannot outrun the devil if you are not walking with Jesus Christ. You need the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and he will lead you into all understanding, that he will keeping you on that straight and narrow path. And when I say the weapons have formed over the years, but they have not prospered. And even when I was taken to, God had to basically take me to my knees, because I opened a company and I was focusing on that, because he called me to speak to the people. And I was like, I kept being on this self-hated journey, lacking faith. And I kept thinking of my image, or I looked ugly, or I've been a great sinner. But he will turn everything that is a mess into a masterpiece. And I say amen, glory to God, because he's done that and more. And what he's given me is the peace to know he receives me. I have access. So I'm going to say, if you feel you have no access, fall to your knees. We are in the last days. And I know that God didn't have to help me, because I was not worthy, but he did. And he shows me time and time again, no matter what happens, keep the faith. Stay steadfast in his word. So God bless you, and thank you for letting me share.
Amen, 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 amen. You know, that is such a... I've never heard anything this year that powerful. Thank you, Sister Sapphire, beautiful name too, you know, coming on here. And in the eyes of God, you've been just that precious, like that sapphire. And you know, the devil, he couldn't touch your spirit. Yes, you know, your body was broken, but the Lord kept you close. And you know, sometimes we try to walk away from the Lord because of pain that we have suffered in our body. But the Lord, he died for that soul and that spirit. And he said, I will lose none of them, and I will bring them back. And I want us to open our mouths and pray for Sapphire this morning. Go ahead, open your mouth. She's been through a lot.
Lord God Almighty, we want to complete this, your daughter, Sapphire, in your hands. Precious name, your daughter, in your eyes, Lord.
Father God, give us a sheep, Father God, and send her out a word in that brings back, Father God, and strengthen the body of Christ, Father God, thank you today, Father, that she's lovely, Father.
Praise for your daughter, God. Praise for your spirit. Holy Spirit, divine, I give you praise. Thank you for your grace at work in our life, oh God. Thank you for your work of grace. Thank you, Lord, for healing our broken heart, oh God. Thank you for strengthening our spirit. Thank you, Lord, because faithful are you, who have begun a good work in your daughter, Lord. So we do it. Father, I give you praise. Thank you, Lord, because you have given our access into the Father of life. Blessed be your holy name. For giving our access to the Father of all life, oh God, blessed be your name. The Father of all spirits, I give you praise. Because you have called her into yourself, oh God, into the beloved, blessed be your name. Thank you for accepting her, oh God, into the beloved, blessed be your name. Thank you for the work of healing. Thank you for the work of healing.
Jesus' name.
Spiritual and body. Thank you for redemption. Blessed be your holy name,
Lord, we thank you for Sapphire this morning and how you loved her and how you kept her. Thank you for healing the wounds, Lord. Thank you because you paid the price for her and you wouldn't lose her. And you kept her. And today she has a testimony of redemption. We give you, Lord, the praise for her life. Praise the Lord. Thank God that you came here and shared your testimony with us. And what a beautiful story of redemption. Redemption! Hallelujah. Grace! When you felt condemned and everything. And we've seen the Lord do it so many times in the scriptures. They brought a woman to her, to him, in the mid, caught in the middle of adultery. And they said, Moses said, we should stone this woman, but what say you? And the Lord wouldn't say a word. And then began to write on the sand with his fingers, the same finger of God that wrote the Ten Commandments, began to write and began to reveal the secrets of the hearts of all those wicked people that wanted to destroy this woman. And every one of them, one by one, as he revealed their secrets, what they've done, and what commandments they've broken, and even the, perhaps even the dates they did it. They were walked away one by one. Every last one of them, the woman left in the midst. Jesus looked up and said, woman, where are your accusers? And she said, no man is here to condemn me, Lord. And my goodness, the next words out of the mouth of Jesus, neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. That's always the thing that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. Not what you've done, what where you've been, but where you are right now, in this moment, with the Lord. What's the next thing that you're going to do? Not what you did, not where you were, not who you thought you were, but right now, in this moment, grace, when you were condemned. This woman was condemned to die. Jesus, the grace that he extended to her. Redemption, even for the thief on the cross. In the moment, this dying moment, the last breath out of his mouth, he cried out to the Lord. And the Lord said, today, and who would have thought that someone who all his life lived like that, was even crucified for his crimes, bleeding out, dying, and in one moment that he cried out to the Lord, the Lord pulled him out of the grips of Satan. Today, if you will hear his voice, anyone that's in this room or will listen to this later, you heard this powerful testimony from Sapphira today. Why don't you come as you are? Just come as you are. Jesus got his arms wide open to receive you. And I pray for you, Sapphira. The Lord said, I will make you a pillar in the house of the Lord, that you will go no more out, no more back and forth out there. No, he got a place for you on the table, a seat for you on the table. And you know, the Lord, you know, he washes away all of that. Praise God. I want to tell you a story too, Sapphira. You know, the love and the grace of God that kept you. Oh, there's a story that Moses, he came after I was running away from Egypt. And he came one day to the backside of the desert when he got to the land of Midian, and he was there. And he went to the Mount of God on one day when, as he kept the sheep of his father-in-law, Jethro. And he saw this sight. It was a sight, you know, that God used to draw him in. The fire, he saw the fire. And it looked like, you know, it looked around, but he didn't see that the bush was being consumed. The fire wasn't spreading. It was just in one place. And he said, I got to turn aside to see this sight. And when he turned aside to see, the Lord said, stop. For the place where you are in, standing in right now, is holy ground. That didn't look like holy ground to Moses at all, because all he saw was bush and dirt and rubbish. on the ground and leaves, maybe lizards, maybe all kinds of rubbish on the ground. That's what he saw. But God called it holy ground because his presence was right there. And the presence of God that had come upon you as from a young age, he showed you who the Holy Spirit was. That's such an amazing. There are grown people, I mean, to today, who don't even know who the Holy Spirit is. But God showed that to you from a tender age. And I tell you today, your body, your temple is holy ground. Because the Spirit of God dwells in you, and that makes it holy ground. One moment, it was bush. One moment, it was rubbish. One moment, it was, I don't know, maybe it even trash on the ground. But the next moment, because of the fire and the presence of the Lord, he called it holy ground. And today, I pray that, O Lord, that you will see your body, your temple, your life as holy ground. And enough of that. But thank God that you have a testimony. A testimony to give of your redemption. This is a real life story. This is not a theory or something you read in a book. You've experienced it yourself. And I thank God that God has turned your life to holy ground. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we lift up Sapphire before you even on this day. We thank you for this powerful testimony that she has given here today. How the love of God found her even in the midst of abuse, even from a young age. And I want to pray that a lot of people out there that may still be going through, a lot of young people, that may be going through these things that she went through. Because the devil, the enemy is on a rampage to destroy lives. But Jesus said, although the enemy comes to steal, to kill and destroy, I am come to give you life and that abundantly. The Holy Spirit rearranging your life. Hallelujah. I mean, we all yield to the Holy Spirit. Powerful testimony on here this morning. Now, if you think you've been through, think again. You heard it today of someone who's been through. Lord, I thank you. I give you praise and I give you glory for this young lady. Because she has a story of redemption. And I pray that her life, your life, Sapphire, will be used to touch many. Hallelujah. Your story brought tears to my eyes this morning. Oh my goodness, what pain and suffering she went through. I mean, a young child at that young, almost wanting to take her own life at age 6. That's absolutely unimaginable. But yet, thank God for the grace of God that was there, that angel that kept you. Since the time you were a little kid, yeah, he spoke to you. And he's still speaking to you. And he will never leave you. And he will never forsake you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being with her, Lord. All those years, all that pain and the suffering, the devil driving her away, further away, away from the Lord, or trying to, but the Lord, I will lose none of them. The Holy Spirit found you again and again and again. And I thank Lord because you said, I will make you a pillar in my house. You will not go in and out anymore. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful, beautiful story of redemption. Today we celebrate the life of God in you, Sister Sapphire. Welcome. Hallelujah. We are glad that you came in here today at our powerful testimony, I invite you to join the house and come on in here from time to time, you know, and receive, you know, messages, powerful faith building lessons that can help you on this journey. You got a long journey still. There's a lot of life ahead of you. And never mind the past. You tell the devil that was then, but this is now. Glory to God. That was then. But this right here is right now. In this moment, what are you going to do next? And what I say to Sapphira, I say to all. It's not where you've been. It's not what you've done. It's not what how people looked at you in the past. Not even how you looked at yourself in the past. It's right now, in this moment, what are you going to do next? That's what God always wants. That's what God always cares about. So what are you going to do next? God didn't even bring up the fact that Moses killed somebody in Egypt. He was running away because the law was looking for him. God didn't even bring that back out. He didn't even bring that out at all. All he wanted to know was, what are you going to do now with the errand that I have for you? What are you going to do now? Not what you've done before, not because you were running away, not what people thought of you, but right now, in this moment, what will you do when you hear the voice of God? Ladies and gentlemen, if you hear his voice today, what is the decision? What is the next thing that you're going to do? And the devil will always bring back all that you did, all that, you know, where you've been, who you've been, what people think of you. God doesn't care about all that stuff. There's one thing he cares about. What are you going to do next? If the next action you take is running to him, then it's all of that is history. It's gone. But what are you going to do right now? Are you going to come and run to the Lord? Come to me, Jesus said. Come unto me and come as you are. Come as you are, ladies and gentlemen. And even sometimes some of us who've been around the faith for a while, nobody's immune to the tactics of the devil. Nobody. That devil will come at your mind. I guarantee you that. He came at Jesus. Jesus wasn't immune to it. He was not immune to temptation, but he did not yield. Because he knew the word of God. And he knew how to use it. And he knew who he was. Hallelujah. You know, do you know who you are? Or whose you are? And don't yield. The devil will come at you. Bring all these thoughts to your head. He brought the thoughts to the heads of Jesus. Say, look. Get up on this mountain, jump down the cliff, jump down the mountain, throw yourself out. You know, God will cause his angels to, you know, to catch you, you know, and so on. I mean, he brought all these thoughts into his head. The devil will bring thoughts into your head. But you got to defeat him with the word of God, just like Jesus did. It is written. Hallelujah. And it is also written of you. It is written in the volume of the book concerning you, Sapphira. There's written in the volume of book concerning everyone that is here that ye were made in the image of the Christ. Hallelujah. And God has put his glory upon you. Arise therefore and shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And that's a beauty of God. Hallelujah. And Sapphira said something about, you know, God can take something that's a mess and make something that's a masterpiece out of it. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah. That's what he specializes in. When your life is all messed, got to pick up the pieces, put it all together, and make something beautiful out of it. Hallelujah. And why? The Bible says we have this treasure, this Holy Spirit, this new life in earthen broken vessels, so that the glory and the excellency may be of God and not of us. You know, if we could put our lives together, if we could get ourselves all cleaned up, we wouldn't need the Lord, would we now? You know, but the Lord, he came, paid the price. He paid the ransom for our lives. And today, he'll help you pick up the pieces Put your life together. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter what people, how people see you, no matter even how you see yourself, that doesn't matter. What matters is, how does God see you now? What is He saying to you in this moment? In this moment. And that's how God always deals with people. He's not, you know, concerned about what happened before, but right now, when He's talking to you now, in this moment, what are you going to do next? That's what He wants. When you hear His voice today, will you turn your life over to Him? There may be someone else in this room today that needed to hear this. That's why God, the Holy Spirit, blew her into this room. She said, I've never been in this room before. And she was right, because I've never seen her here before. But the Holy Spirit brought her in here, and she had this powerful testimony. And what a day that we're opening up the room for testimonies. And she put this here, and it's here on the recording, and it'll help somebody. And I want to pray for folks that are in this room today. You know, if you need the Lord to help you rearrange your life, you say, I'm broken, you know, I've been broken, shattered to pieces, you know, but how could God love someone like me? Well, that's the story of redemption. He loved somebody like you. That's right. And He loves somebody like you. That's exactly right. You know, He loves somebody like you. And that's why God sent His Son into the world to die for you and for me. And I want to pray for you if you are in this room today, or you're listening later on. You might listen to replay. And I invite people to send this recording, the link of it. You know, send it to people. They will listen to this powerful testimony and see that our God, we don't call Him Redeemer for nothing. That's what He does. He is the Redeemer. I pray for everyone that is broken, that life has shattered to pieces. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, hover over their lives in Jesus' name. You know, Holy Spirit, His role is to watch over the words of Jesus and make sure it come to pass. That's His job. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will not speak of Himself, but He will take that which He has heard. Hallelujah. That's what He will speak. When Jesus said, I will lose none of them, and I will get every one of them. I will lose none of them. Jesus said that. Other sheep I have, I will bring them in, and I will lose none of them. I am the good shepherd. They will hear my voice, and they will follow me. And a stranger's voice, they will not follow. The Holy Spirit will watch over those words in every life. He will make those words come to pass. And even if you have come to the Lord, and you are struggling, and the devil try to beat you down, remember, Holy Spirit will remind you. He said, I will bring to your remembrance those things that I already said. This is what the Holy Spirit does, that I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. And how can He love somebody like you? Well, He can, and He does. Praise the Lord. The Lord, He loves you. You might think, you know, why could He love me? Well, He does. And He did, and He still does, and forever will. Somebody like the Lord, how would He love somebody like me? My life was shattered, broken in pieces. You know, but the Lord, He put it all together. God bless you, Sapphire. Thank you for that powerful testimony. I want everybody that's in the room, especially the older women, make friends with Sapphire and welcome her in and let her feel that love of God. You know, click on her, profile there, photo, and, you know, send her friendship. And I want you to accept this friendship and keep in this circle of all these godly women that you have here that will help you. Hallelujah. That's what this life of journey is all about. God bringing up. You didn't come in here by accident today. God sent you here. Powerful people here that's going to help you on this journey. So there will be no more, you know, you will just be right there with the Lord. Powerful testimony that the Lord will make your life be to many, many, many. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Sapphire in, and let's just love on her and show her the love of God. Click on her, join her, add her as a friend. This will be language these days. Praise the Lord. And you also add these women of God as your friends and stay connected. Praise the Lord. The connections are what brings us stability. Praise God. Stay connected. God bless you. And just for your information, this is a daily room. That's right. A daily room. And we are here every day for you. Are you in the UK? In London?
Yes, Pastor, I'm in the UK. I'm in London. Thank you so much. You don't know, you've done a lot for me in this moment of time. I know that God's plan is just, it's just always working. I can't explain it, but wow, you poured so much into me, Pastor. I'm very blessed to be here, and thank you.
And we have many, we have several people that are in the UK, you know, that are, you know, in this room, you know. So for you, the UK time that we start this room, I believe will be 12 noon until your time change, 12 noon. We're here in Arizona in the US. It's 5 a.m. start time for us. So I believe that's 12 noon. And so whenever you get a chance, come on in here. We are here, you know, by the grace of God, you know, every day we are here. Praise the Lord, you know, and God will bless you tremendously. I'm going to post on the room here how to join this house. You click on that link. You can join Walking with God. It'll be easier for you to find us. And we will be here by the grace of God every single day. We love you and God loves you more. Praise the Lord. Thanks for sharing with us today. Praise the Lord. Well, let's give the Lord the praise. I pray for everyone, Lord, that may be going through, may have had similar stories, young people everywhere that are being oppressed and tormented and abused. I pray for people who have even grown up, but the devil's bringing that back into their minds. I pray that they will remember Jesus as the Redeemer. And I cover that all with the blood of Jesus. And I pull them out of that in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord tells me to tell everyone that whosoever is in Christ Jesus is a new creature. All things are passed away. And behold, all things have become new. Make them new again, Lord. Make every one of us new again. That's what you do best. Behold, I make all things new. Thank you, Father. All things new in the lives of your people. Our past is gone. Let it be in the past. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for this. We give Lord the praise. Give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome, Brother Shegun. I see that you came up. Well, I don't know who it is. Sometimes they use their phones interchangeably. But whoever. You know, feel free. You can open your mic and share. You've got something on your mind. Go ahead.
Yeah, feel free. And open your mic and share. You've got something on your mind.
You're in the meeting.
Good morning, good afternoon, everybody. I thank God for being here today, and my heart is so blessed. My battery went down. My unit is there. Phone. I hope I'm being heard. So,
yes, we can hear you.
Since Thursday, I went to church on Thursday when the thing was postponed. Thursday, Friday, the thing was postponed. I had to postpone. So today, I just want to share something. I want to say something, and what I want to say, first as I give my testimony, I conclude the Lord has always been good. He has always been nice to me, and I'm particularly happy this last month, and I'm sure that going to continue. I'm particularly happy for the miracle God did for me. I will continue to say it because whenever I think about it, I used to wonder what really happened. I want to thank God for healing me. This February, by the last day in January, because we normally have a fasting meeting, I couldn't partake. I was weak. I was so weak. But by the time we did cross over to February, things changed. From the first Sunday, I don't know where the energy came from. And since then, it has been like that. And I'm really appreciating God for that, you know, and for many, many things He has done for me and my family. That's my testimony. But what I want to say now, what I want to share, I want to say it purposely because I want a question answered. I would like Pastor to please attend to that question for me. Not that to waste our time. The thing is talking about the book and the black book, the book where record that. Heaven keep record of deeds, you know, good deeds and bad deeds. You know, that's one book, the book of records. The book of life too, you see. So that I have what I just said, but I feel I should just read it. I read this in the school. I should just read for me to not to waste a lot of time. He said the record books and the Lamb's book of life, the throne, Revelation 11. I will not read all the scriptures, just read some. So someone, that Revelation 11, and that's 11 to 15. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of these things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell, and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And the dead and the hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the fire. So the writing continues. He who occupied this seat is the all-seeing Lord, the eternal God. He sits in his fullness, in his dramatic almightiness, ready to judge. The earth and the heavens fall back before him. The books are opened. Revelation 20, 12 to 15. The explosive light of truth flashes forth. Heaven certainly keep books. Heaven certainly keep books, one of the good deeds and one of the bad deeds, and what one has given or sacrificed. The Bible, the bride does not come under judgment, but her deeds are recorded. That is, I'm going to come back to it. That is where the question, the thing that, you know, is shooking me somehow. And I just want a light shed on it. And the bride will help judge. 1 Corinthians 6, 2 to 3. The wicked
will be judged by what is written in the book. Then he will stand speechless before God, because his record is perfect. Nothing is missed. Every idle word or thought is recorded. Matthew 12:36-37. Matthew, I'm going to read that because that is where my... But I say unto you, that every Matthew 12, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So I will come back to that also. You know, he kept on talking about whom the whose name in the book of life. Said, the letter of God had their names in the book of life before the foundation of the world. Revelation 13:8. Also, foolish virgins who came on through tribulation also had their names in the book of life. Some names are blotted out. Some names are blotted out. Exodus 32:33, Revelation 3:5. And still others who worship the beast never will or never have been written in the book of life. Revelation 13:8. Now God shows me to write something which puzzled the church here. Okay. So I move forward. You know. Now, you know, no, I don't want to really take our time so much. The place was talking about those who have their names written in the book of life, the elect, and the some of the foolish virgins. Then those who have their names blotted out, those that worship the beast, those who went back and never repented, the organization who left God, you know, the organization that left God and they never come back to him, the call some type, Judas type gifted ministry, you know, the ministry that behaved like a Judas, you know, they were with God, but they were not, they were with Jesus. Then Judas was with Jesus, but he was there for gains, personal gains and the rest. His heart was not really there with him. Then the man who started with God, but in the end failed God. So, you know, all these things, when I now read them, I now want to come to my question because those are the deeds. Book of deeds, every deed is written. And it is also written that every idle word, that's part of deeds. And every idle thought will be judged. That is my question. So I used to, since then it has been, since I've been hearing that sentence, I will have been wondering. And then this, when I read it again and come across this thing, you know, I just decided that I will ask us to. That what are idle words? What are idle thoughts? You know, what could be, you know, that all these things will be accounted for. You know, what really you are idle words and idle thoughts that the Bible is really talking about here. So that is the question that has been puzzling me since last week, and I've been wanting to ask, looking for opportunity to say it. So since we can say something that is maybe a little bit different from what we have been talking about, that is why I'm bringing it. Okay, today I will want the pastor to please help me. What are idle words? What are idle thoughts? You know, what are idle words and what are idle thoughts? That is my question. Thank you. God bless you. I'll use
all right. Here. Yeah, let me first of all do a quick room reset before I get to that. Thank you, everybody, for being here. You are here with us in Walking with God. And this is a daily room. You can join us at any time. Thank you, Sophia, for joining us today. God bless your heart. And thank you, everybody, for being here. This is one of our Saturday fellowships. Today, we decided to do a little more of just kickback. Usually, we do lessons every single day. We've done so many series. The latest round of lessons were on the parables of the kingdom. And we're asking people to do reviews and share their testimonies and so on and so forth. And also, we always want to take every opportunity for prayer and to even ask questions and see if we can find the answers together. So thank you, Sister Tolokwe, for your questions today. From what I'm hearing, there's a lot of questions loaded in there, but let me lay a background first of all. Our God is God. God is not like a man. Actually, God doesn't need any books in order to remember anything. And that's number one. You know, number two, God is infinite. He doesn't learn any new thing and he cannot forget anything. So whether it's the written down part of it is for our benefit, not for God's benefit. You know, God, his mind is infinite. This whole universe is inside the mind of God. So you can't tell him anything. You can't, you know, there's nothing he doesn't already know. But for our benefit, these things are written. In fact, the scripture tells us many things like that. All the things are written are for our examples, for our benefit, for this and that. Whether written in heaven or written on earth, it's for our benefit, not for God's benefit. You know, when the Bible says that Jesus is the Word of God, you know, then, you know, is the Word of God, you know, for, you know, his benefit. He's already the Word. So, but that's aside. I just want to say that scriptures, you will have many scriptures that talk about books being written. In fact, there is there are many books. There is one that I alluded to the other day in Malachi. You can read Malachi 3 and 16. It said, you know, they that fear the Lord, they spoke often to one another, and the Lord heard it and wrote a book of remembrance, you know, before him. Now, so those things that are written, whether good or bad, whether there is the number of books, we don't know. But Revelation tells us about the book of life, and then other books. So how many of those books? I don't know. There is no answer to that. But there are books. And there are many references to where we see that some books may be, you know, written. What's inside those books? Sometimes there's one where it contains names. Because we see, you know, Moses praying, asking the Lord to block him out of his book if he would not spare and have mercy on Israel. And the Lord said no. Who that sinned against him, he will I blot out. You know, we saw, you know, Jesus talking to one of the churches in the book of Revelation that he asked John to write to, talking about, you know, he that overcometh and so forth. You know, I would not blot his name out of the book of life. You can read that in Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. You know, when he was talking to the church of Sardis. So we see references to writing and blocking and so forth. But the specific question here is, you know, what are idle words and what are idle thoughts? And why would they, why does the Bible say they will be judged? And so, well, everybody will be judged. The difference is we are already judged in Christ on the cross. Our sins were judged there. According to Romans chapter 4 and verse 25, he says, Christ was delivered up. That means judged for our sins. And he was raised again for our justification. So we are acquitted. So our thoughts, our wickedness, our sins, our unrighteousness are nailed to the cross. So judged. The Bible talks about, he calls it handwriting of ordinances. Where do you write handwriting? It's in a book. You know, you don't just write handwriting anywhere. Most of the time you write it in a book. So blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, Colossians chapter 2 You know, verse 5. In fact, let me read it from, you know, verse 12 or even verse 10. Ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. We're buried with him in baptism, where also we are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. So we're also risen with him. Now, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has now quickened or made alive with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Now, that's us. No, you know, not others, but against us. You know, he had blotted it out. All these things that were contrary to us, everything that was written against us, he had blotted it out. He had taken it out of the way. He had nailed it to his cross, and he had spoiled principalities and powers. He had made an open show of them, triumphing over them in it. So, that's gone. However, the role of the Holy Spirit, in order to make sure that that's the case, will convict you and me when we do that something that's contrary, that could have come up against us in those ordinances, you know, because they have been written. And the word of God cannot fail. God says he's writing it, then he's writing it. But then the Holy Spirit will bring you to it, and will convict you and say, you said something wrong, you did something wrong, I apologize, or pray about it. The Holy Spirit will do that. That's what he does. And then you find that the real believer, he will quickly repent of that, and it's gone. Now, so, you know, there will not be record of you said this, you didn't say that, against those who live by the Holy Spirit. However, if the Holy Spirit convicts us and we don't repent, then it will be against us. You know, so now, but what is an idle word in general? Remember, Jesus said many things. He said, look, you know, be careful when you speak, you know, to someone. When you call your brother a fool, or you call him stupid, like Raka and all these things. And he said, be careful now, because these people were made in the image of God. And you know, you just say anything, you might be in danger. And, you know, even the, you know, dictionary, you can look up idle word, even in dictionary, and, you know, some other writings. It's just empty, insincere. So, you know, there's one place I looked up. He said it's empty, it's insincere, it's exaggerated talk, you know, and, you know, just nothingness, talk, you know. The Bible even warns of, you know, useless jesting and so forth, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. You know, so idle words or things that do not edify. That's why the scripture warns us, say, look, let your speech, Colossians 4 and 6, be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know, you know, how to answer every man. You know, also, you know, Isaiah, you know, talks about it in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. He said, look, the Lord has given me, you know, the tongue such as the pen of a ready writer. And I know how to speak a good word to him that is in weary. So there are good words and there are idle words. Idle words, therefore, are things that do not edify. You know, say, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. So anything that is not good to the use of edifying, that is what will be called, you know, corrupt communication. That's Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. So idle words, you can group it into that class of corrupt communication, which doesn't edify anybody. Idle doesn't just mean that the word is lazy or the word is not doing anything. No, the word is not producing the effect of righteousness and the effect of edification in the lives of people. You know, the word can be a downer, you know, it's not bringing grace, it's not seasoned with salt, you know, it's not useful for edifying, then it's called an idle word, or it's even abusive, you know, when you say call somebody fool or raka or stupid or this and that. So all of that together are idle words, but every idle word will be judged. But for the believer who's walking by the infilling of the Holy Spirit, those things are already judged. As long as every day you allow the Holy Spirit to bring you into a place of contrition, you know, then every day you're good. The problem is, you know, the Bible says, when you hear his voice, harden not your heart. The problem with us is sometimes the Holy Spirit is there trying to tell us, but we're not listening. We harden our hearts. Then he will stand against you. But nobody should be afraid that, oh, if they spoke idle word, that they, you know, then, you know, they will be judged or go to hell for that. It's not such thing. Holy Spirit is there to make sure that Jesus said, I will lose none of them. Make sure that's exactly what happens, you know, but he will convict you of it and you must repent of it. And, you know, we saw a story of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. This is the prayer that we must all pray. We need the coals of fire from the altar to circumcise our lips, circumcise our tongue. Say, I'm a man of unclean lips. Well, let God use the Holy Ghost fire to change that, the trajectory of that lip or those lips or that tongue. The direction in which it's going, Holy Ghost fire can brand that and change it. That's what they did, you know, the seraphim did for Isaiah. And then his mouth became clean. So we also need to have our mouth become clean. But let me warn us of how James warned us, because when we did this story of the book of James, I mean the series on the book of James, we read this, where James in chapter 3 was talking about the electric tongue. I mean, it's deadly poison and unruly. I mean, you can't control this tongue. You know, that's exactly where these idle words come from. One time Jesus said, look, it is not what you put into your mouth. When people say, your disciples are eating without washing their hands, you say, well, that's not what's going to defile you. But the things that come out of your heart through your mouth, those are the things that defile you, all the thoughts that come and become actions. So out of the heart proceeded all these things, you know, false witness comes out of the heart. Somebody makes up their mind to say something wrong against somebody in order to get them into trouble. You know, just that shall not be a false witness. I mean, that's coming out of the heart. You know, so words like according to James, these words nobody can tame. Well, that's nobody, but Holy Ghost can tame it. You know, whenever we're thinking of what people cannot do, let's not put Holy Spirit in that category, because with God, there shall nothing be impossible. Holy Spirit can tame that tongue. Individuals, people cannot tame that tongue, but Holy Spirit can tame it. And when he tames it, that is why when people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, one of the most common experiences is speaking with other tongues, because he's trying to brand that tongue. You know, and that's why we see that. But so let's not think that, oh, the tongue is unruly. Oh, the tongue can never be tamed. The tongue can be tamed, you know, can be tamed, but only by the Holy Spirit. In our own human flesh, we can't tame it. So as long as we are in that untamed tongue realm, then our words are idle. We are going to say all kinds of things. You're going to get into all kinds of trouble before the angel. Remember, angel of the Lord is there, you know, and so forth. But as we allow the Holy Spirit to clean that, help us clean that up, then we don't have anything to worry. Our words then become words of praise. It becomes words of admonition. When people are cast down, our words are, you know, encouraging words that build up and so forth. We're no longer speaking idle words. Occasionally, you might find yourself speaking an idle word, but the devil get under your skin sometimes. And then, or somebody get under your skin and you just say something, you know, that you shouldn't have said. Holy Spirit. You see, this is the beauty. The Holy, there is not a person in this room that is filled of the Holy Spirit that will tell you, I will not tell you that the Holy Spirit have corrected them of something they said. At some time, yeah, that's what he does. He'll come to you and say, you should never have said that, you know, and you should repent. Or sometimes he will tell you, go and apologize or whatever, you know, because that's what he does. And as long as we are following the leading of the Lord and doing those things, it will not be in onto your account, because he has already blotted out handwriting of ordinances before you even were born. And now that you are alive, and even after today, he has blotted them out already. However, our role is to put that tongue on that check. As far as, are they recorded in the books? Absolutely. Because the Bible says it is, so it is. You know, and for the benefit of people that will not be able to argue anything. Now, some people have said that when they get to heaven, they will argue. They won't be able to argue anything. It's like, I mean, the books will be opened. Everybody will see. You yourself will see. I mean, it's like replaying, a recording, a movie. It will just flash. They can't say anything. You will see the unrepented heart will be out in the open. Nobody will say, you know, nobody will be able to stand before the judge of the whole earth and make any case. However, you can be judged right now. Right now, we are judged right now in Christ. I mean, with Christ on the cross. Leave it all out there and turn our lives around. And we don't have to worry about that. But God will also, here's another thing. Think about this. Judgment must begin at the household of God. What does that mean? Well, you know, first of all, I said, well, the people of God who are saved are judged with Christ on the cross. But, you know, when you come into the church, there's another judging for the church. It's not at the judgment seat of Christ, that's reward. But for them, they are judged at the rapture. That's right. You know, those who are not, you know, watching and praying and doing whatever the Lord said we should be doing, well, they'll be left behind. That's our own judgment. That's where judgment starts. Starts at the household of faith. And then the left behind ones put their hands on the head and be crying. Well, why might we be left behind? God forbid. It might be because of idle words. It might be because of, you know, things that we have spoken in anger, you know, without repenting of it. And nobody is going to ever come into, you know, condemnation of anything that they repented of. But we will if we don't repent. You know, just like the Bible says in John 3:18, that look, you know, if you believe, you know, you're saved. But if you don't believe, they're condemned already. So when the Holy Spirit telling us things and we do it, then we are acquitted. But if we don't do it, then we are condemned. So every idle word that you've ever spoken in your life, if you repent of it, and the Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance at the time. And even if you don't, you know, because the devil is very tricky. You know, after this lesson today, the devil is going to come to some people and say, aha, you see, you spoke those idle words. And, you know, now, you know, you're going to hell or whatever. I don't know what trick he will play. But remember, the Holy Spirit is there to remind you. Whenever he tells you, you repent and you ask for his grace and you move on. And it's gone. God doesn't bring it up again. It's the ones that we don't repent that continue to, you know, if God has the ability to blot out names, you know, how much less blot out idle words? If he can blot out names, he can also blot out handwriting of ordinances. Yeah, that's what they are called. All the things that are written against you, God can blot them out. He did at the cross, you know, but we must remain in the light. And, you know, if anything goes amiss, I will come back quickly. Will the church or the bride of Christ or the elect of God be judged out of, you know, some handwriting of ordinances that Christ has already blotted out at the cross? Absolutely not. But those people that did not, see, were not unified with Christ on the cross. Well, all those handwriting of ordinances, remember I said that was against us. It didn't say against the whole world. Handwriting of ordinances against us, us who are the redeemed, who have received that work of redemption. But those handwritings, they still remain out there for those who did not. But there are more books. Those are the idle words. There are other good stuff, like Malachi 3:16. Those that speak often to the one another in the name of the Lord, the encouragements and the different things that you are saying to people, they're also being recorded in a book of remembrance. Now, books are meant to be read. So if God is just writing it and nobody ever reads it, that's why John was weeping. Because there was a book. And there was nobody to open it or anybody to read it. I mean, you know, there's something inside that book and we need to figure it out. But there was nobody that could figure it out. So he was weeping. We thank God that Jesus stepped up. So books are to be read. If there's a book of remembrance being written or books of remembrance being written, they will be read. There is nothing hidden that will not be made open. There is nothing concealed that will not be brought to light. So anything that is written anywhere will eventually be come out in the open, except it was erased by the work of Christ, which blotted out the handwriting of ordinances. So you see, there are some writings that were blotted out. See, remember, Christ was slain. The Lamb was slain before the world even began. You know, so, all, you know, your sins, you know, and all idle words which you are going to say were already taken out, you know, handled before the world even began. But, and if we do not repent of those things, then they remain. You know, but if you repent, then they are blotted out. So, but you know, a long answer, you know, the answer is idle words are corrupt communication. Things that do not edify. Things that do not lift up or tear down. You know, and when we, you know, use abusive words and all the negative speech. But, you know, a good speech, you know, is great. You know, when we use good speech, you know, Proverbs says, you know, a good speech is like medicine, you know, cheerful countenance, you know, can bring good things, turn things around in the life of people. A word freely spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Good words bring refreshing. That's why Jesus always say, fear not. I am with you always. You know, I will never leave you. He always gives us comforting words. He will never speak words into our hearts to confuse us and to send us back into darkness. But the devil will try to accuse you of some words which you have spoken in order for you to give up and fall back. Well, all you got to do is say, Holy Spirit, I thank you. Repent of it and move on. John said, look, we have, you know, these things I write unto you that you sin not, period. That is the ideal. However, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And whatever that sin is that the Holy Spirit convicts you of, in this case, the subject we are talking on is idle words. What are they? Well, I've already said what they are. And if the Holy Spirit convicts anybody of it, what you got to do? It's not what you did before. It's what you're going to do now. I said that about 30 minutes ago or so in this room. What is it that you're going to do now when the Holy Spirit shows you something? What are you going to do about it? Yeah, it's not what you did before. It's what you are going to do next. That's what matters. So all I got to do next is, Lord, I repent of it and I ask for your grace for you not only to, you know, wash me, wash away my sins, forgive me of my, you know, sins, but to cleanse me. That's the two, you know, if we forget our sins, connect to 1 John 1:9, it's not only able to forgive our sins, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, including idle words. And let's not think that there is nothing that God cannot do. You know, God can help us even against idle words, you know. So let's read this together. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins, including idle words. You may not remember them all, but at some point in time, all of us are guilty of it. You know, you confess it and he's able to cleanse us, not just to forgive, but to cleanse. Yeah, that means, you know, remove the propensity to do those things. You know, cleanse us from it. So God will cleanse us from those idle words. We may not have given a complete definition of idle words, but it is suffice to say that we should not be afraid of the consequences as long as we are walking in the Spirit. Holy Spirit will convict you when you've done or said something wrong, and it will bring you to a place of contrition and repentance. What we need to watch is the state of our heart. Is our heart, you know, soft to receive correction from the Holy Spirit? Or are we obstinate You know, there are some people that there's nothing you can tell them. You know, they just won't listen. Well, you know, and they better be very careful. But as long as we are ready to be instructed and corrected by the Holy Spirit, we're not in danger. Praise the Lord. Now, Jesus, he threw out a lot of things in general. Say, beware, because you might be in danger when you speak these words and this and this and this. And yeah, we should beware. But the Holy Spirit, the governor, that's his role. He will bring us to the place of repentance. That's my faith and that's my trust. How do I know that I can make it at the end? Well, I'm trusting the Holy Spirit will make sure that I make it. You know, because Jesus went away and left us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's role is to make sure that none of us will fall away. And if we fall, he will bring us to a place of repentance. But my role is to walk in the light and repent and clear myself of any filthiness of the spirit and soul and mind and so forth. And, you know, anything the Holy Spirit is correcting in my life, let me align myself. That's my job. But as far as the Holy Spirit is concerned, he will do it. Now, on the day when God's opening the books and judging people out of idle words, the elect will not have to worry about that. That's not for them. But they already judged and they already took care of it. But if we don't take care of it, then we'll be in danger of that thing being called out. See? So that's it as far as idle words and books and so forth. But let's be concerned more about the good works that God might be recording. Let's make sure we have good works to our record. Those are never blotted out. Now, the good works are not blotted out. You know, neither the good names are blotted out. You know, so, but it's the offenses that may be blotted out because of the blood of Christ. Those are called handwriting of ordinances. They have blotted those out. You know, and it's also people who turn their backs against the Lord and, you know, depart from the faith. Some people may be blotted out. But for us, you know, our good works. You know, I said, look, I am coming back again, Revelation 22 and 12. And my reward is with me to give to every man according as their works shall be. And when he's rewarding some of them, some people will not even remember. And he will remind them. You know, when you are, you know, said, when did we see you and you were naked and this and this and this and we brought you in, we cared for you, we gave you water, we gave you drink, we fed you. We never saw you. You were not even in our generation. And Jesus said, yeah, you think you didn't see me, but you did it to these ones and it's recorded. And here's your reward. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And others, likewise, unfortunately, their own is also recorded because they didn't do the good works. And Jesus, and they will have no argument, you know, because he will say, why? We never saw you. We never, if we had seen you, we would have taken care of you. So, well, you know, here is a situation where you saw that person and you bring it out and it will be open and you didn't do it. And that means you didn't do it to me. Then they will have no argument because it's written. Praise the Lord. Now, it is written is always a powerful thing. It is written can be used to give, us victory over the devil or to get us victory over the devil. It is also written. Jesus said, look, don't you think I will judge anybody? But these words that I speak will judge on the last day. Because these words are written. So those words, you know, may judge us unto life, you know, or judge us unto condemnation. Jesus said, the hour is coming when all that are in the graves will hear these words. And some will rise up to life, resurrection of life. Some to resurrection of damnation or condemnation. And what is it going to be? The books will tell the story. So that nobody can argue. But for us, we know where the books are. The stories that are in the books concerning us are the good works that we may be rewarded for. Blessed are they that die in the Lord from here on out, and their works do follow them. But they are written in those books. Praise the Lord. But as far as idle words, Holy Spirit branding. Holy Spirit brand those tongue, that tongue. Let the Holy Spirit brand your tongue. So I'm going to say a quick prayer. I'm going to invite all of us to pray. Those of us that let our tongue run wild many times, sometimes many of us are guilty of that. Well, we need to bring that into check so that you will not be guilty of these I do words. Sometimes we shoot from the hip. We speak first before we think. God said, be slow to speak so that you don't, out of your mouth will not come idle words. And so I'm going to pray and invite you to pray with me. Let's take a moment and pray. Pray for yourself in this matter that, you know, if there be found in us the propensity for idle words, the Holy Spirit will help us and move us beyond that. And you see, after today, you know, he's giving you the grace already because we prayed about it and we're repenting of it. So prayer in Jesus' name.